This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Say, man, I don't know if they really meant to do this. I don't know if they meant to do this for real, man. But this ain't your usual in the loop. That's not what this is going to be. This is a Black Friday edition.
Black Friday edition.
Of In the Loop. And when we say Black Friday, we're not just talking about shopping. We're not just talking about discounts. We're talking about Black Friday for real.
Black people.
It's going to be very little code switching today. And it's going to be a different kind of show. It's going to sound different. It's going to be different. But I'm excited about it. This might be the first and last time, only time we get to do this, fellas.
I know, man. We need to cherish this moment.
I'm telling you, man. You got Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com here. Figgy Fig, the best in the world at what he do. Ryan Rocket here. How y'all doing, fellas?
Man, I feel great, dog. Figgy asked me to slide through for the Black Friday edition of the show. Man, I had
and how
to
could you
through.
Miss it?
Yeah. That fair enough, man. Doc, sidebar real quick. Have y'all bought anything this Black Friday yet?
No.
The Black Friday week.
Come on, man. What I look like?
I gave up on Black Friday years ago, man. It's hard shopping on Black Friday now, man.
Another sidebar real quick. Remember a few years ago they wouldn't call it Black Friday?
Was it a political thing?
Yes, I think so. Because I worked in retail for 7 years, and they never called it Black Friday at my job. They called it Green Friday.
Green Friday?
Yeah.
And then you can't offend no green people.
Apparently, the Martians wasn't in the woke dictionary or whatever you want to call it. But and then they called it Indigo Friday after that.
Indigo Friday?
Yes.
What's that about?
I don't know. They're trying to avoid black because, you know, we can't assume, we can't call anything black no more. We can't call it the master bedroom no more. We can't say Black Friday no more. But now everybody's gone back to Black Friday.
Man, I want to say, I want to feel like maybe it's just they want to make that transition to Cyber Monday. And maybe it was just that awkward transition of like, how do we go from here to there? But you might be right, man. But look, I'm going to tell y'all this much. This is the Black Friday edition of In the Loop, and that's what we're going to do, man. So hell with the political correctness. We're not here for it. It's just us. Man, let me ask y'all something real quick, because we just came off of Thanksgiving. We had three games. And the Thanksgiving Day games are kind of controversial because you got teams that aren't necessarily good that you got to get in there, that got to be there every year, like the Lions. We talked about this, man. How much football did y'all really actually watch on Thanksgiving?
I watched the second game. That's pretty much the only game I was really focused on. The last game, it wasn't really a game. It was kind of a blowout. But the first game, I see a lot of people saying the Lions need to we need to get them off.
Yes.
But I'm actually okay with them on because I never really sit and watch the first game. It's usually on in the background. I'm usually getting dressed or cooking or something like that. So I never really pay attention to the Lions at all. But I just kind of have it on in the background, and I kind of check in on it once in a while, but I never really focus on a Lions game like that. So I'm cool with them being on. If it was like Kansas City or Green Bay or something, I probably would get anything done. I'd probably just be sitting my ass on the couch watching the whole game. But with the Lions, it's kind of – it's like the opener.
So it's like a filler for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, I don't care if they be on.
What about you, Rock? Because I know me and you are like, man, what do we got to do to get these Lions up off of our screen? I mean, last year was different, right, because they played the Texans.
Yeah.
Like, I had actual interest in that game and was covering it. Texans won. Probably one of the last few exciting moments that you can remember with the Texans.
J.J. Watt.
Will Fuller had a big game. Y'all remember Will Fuller used to play here?
Yeah.
That seems so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson. Y'all remember Deshaun Watson used to play here?
Armani.
Seems so long ago. And so I had an investment in that game. But then this year you look up and it's the Lions and the Bears. Legacy squads, by the way. Legacy franchises. But at the same time, you're like, the Lions and the Bears. The Lions ain't won a game all year. Of course, this is tradition. They got to be on there. But they ain't won a game all year. The Bears had to validate or invalidate some kind of bogus report about their coach getting fired, which, by the way, their coach should be fired. Matt Nagy should be fired at this point. I don't know why they brought him back to begin with. But there was a report earlier in the week from something called Patch.com. Seriously, Patch.com made national headlines and reported that Matt Nagy would be fired after the game. Can't remember if it was win or lose or not, but that he had been informed that he would be fired after the game against the Lions on Thanksgiving. Supposedly not true. The owner, George McCaskey, came out and kind of deadened that report and everything, but the Bears did win the game. And the thing that stood out to me, man, about this, Lions, Bears, two teams that have no business on the national stage, was the first-year head coach, Dan Campbell. And I don't know if y'all remember when Dan Campbell got hired, but the thing with him was talking about biting people kneecaps off.
Mm-hmm.
And this was going to be supposedly like the presentation of it was like, oh, this guy gets it. You know, like this is a tough guy. This is, you know, like he was sort of billed as, you know, a good hire. And I think the people in Detroit are losing their minds. They are starting to lose their patience already, which I think is ridiculous because, you know, first year head coach. But I kid you not, man, the reason why they lost this game against the Bears was poor clock management, poor management, game management at the end. And these fools called double timeouts. I don't know if I've seen, I can't tell you the last time I've seen double timeouts. And you can break down all of the mismanagement of David Culley throughout the year. And I'm the last person that's going to argue that David Culley has been a good head coach, is a promising head coach, is the dude of the future for the Texans. I don't believe none of that. But I think we get caught up in our own stuff so much that we forget what's going on around us. And maybe, you know, for some, maybe it doesn't matter what's going on around you, right? But with this situation, with Dan Campbell calling back-to-back timeouts and losing, essentially losing a down and killing clock and then giving up the play after that anyway, like I just don't see how you can look up and think that you've got the worst of it with David Culley when there are clearly other issues. Like, you look around. I was thinking about this. All of the first-year head coaches, Dan Campbell, Brandon Staley out there in Los Angeles, which from the Chargers to the Rams, Arthur Smith in Atlanta, Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, which, funny enough, he might be doing the best job. And you got Dave, Robert Saleh, we're going to see one. Got Texans Jets coming up on Sunday, we're going to see one. And, like, there is not a single one that's just doing an outstanding job. Like, all of them are struggling. You go to a new head coach for a reason because your team probably stinks, right? Mm-hmm. All of them got sorry teams, except Brandon Staley, who's got Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
Probably should be better.
Not a lot of people are talking about that. because he gives good sound bites and is young and you know, is like the...
It's the Sean McVay.
The second coming of the Sean McVay. But I'm looking and I'm like, man, maybe we've been a little bit too hard on David Culley when you compare him to his peers.
That's a nasty comparison, though, man, because...
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, the Texans got two wins now, so I don't know, man. One thing about the game with the Lions, I did hear Aaron Glenn got some of the blame for that second timeout. Was that actually him that called the second timeout?
Yeah, so if you look at that clip, if y'all YouTube that clip or if y'all think back and look at the sideline, it's Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn both calling the timeout there. And we're talking about former Texans. I would call him a Texans great. Former Texans great cornerback Aaron Glenn.
Both, Seth Payne's teammate.
Seth Payne's former teammate, original Texans. Calling timeouts on the sideline, both of them, knowing damn well they just came out of a timeout. Yeah, that happened. And on top of that, if you go to Dan Campbell's explanation, actually, Figgy, let's go ahead and hear Dan Campbell's explanation for exactly what happened at the end of this game.
Yeah, obviously you can't do that, but we had miscommunication. Half our secondary had one call, half had the other. And banged a timeout. It was a check by what they were doing. And so you don't get it until it's in the middle of the play, but it's something we had talked about. And so you don't get it pre-snap. It's a call, and it's got basically a check on it to what they're going to do and what they line up in offensively is what happened. And so we had half in one call, half in another. And so the first thing in my head is, well, we've got a blown coverage, and they're about to score a touchdown. So I do it, and which you can't do, and now it's penalty, but I know that he threw it out in the flat. That was about to be a touchdown, so.
He implied he purposefully did it.
Can't do it.
So what you got there is the defensive, what did he say? Half of the secondary. Okay, first of all, you ain't got more than four or five guys in your secondary, depending on what kind of coverage you're playing, right? So, like, that's, you're just talking about a few guys. You're not even talking about the whole defense. Just talking about, he said half the secondary had to call, half of them didn't. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator, and himself, a former defensive back. So, like, why does not everybody have the same call coming out of a timeout? It's bad.
Disappointing, man. I have a personal anecdote about Aaron Glenn, too. I have a personal story. The first jersey I ever owned was an Aaron Glenn jersey.
Really?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, where is that at now?
Oh, man, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. And the reason why I don't wear, I stopped wearing it after one time probably. But my uncle, you know, he got tickets for the first year of the Texans, and he's been season ticket holder ever since. He got me an Aaron Glenn jersey. I wore it to high school, and a kid came up to me and said, damn, I ain't never seen nobody with an Aaron Glenn jersey.
Hey, and you got to remember, this is the 2000 or the early 2000s.
Yeah,
it's
freshman
versions.
Year of high school, man.
Early, so this is the early version, the earliest version. Hey, yeah. At the time, that's basically like, and I love Seth, but that's basically like rocking a Seth Payne jersey at the time. It's like, what is going on exactly?
And this was the throwback era of jerseys, too. You know, everybody in school was wearing the throwbacks, and I had the Aaron Glenn Texans jersey. Somebody's saying, I ain't never seen nobody with an Aaron Glenn jersey. That was the last time I ever wore a jersey ever, man.
So I remember back then, the ones that were popular, obviously, were the David Carr jerseys. Those are the ones that most people wore. But they weren't really, like, cool. Like, when did it become cool? Maybe, I guess, Andre Johnson. I was going to say, when did it even become cool to wear a Texans jersey at all? Because it was a while. I feel like it was a while before they were even respectable.
I mean, it would have to be Andre Johnson. It would have to be Andre Johnson. But it, like I said, in my era, nobody was wearing, like, current jerseys anyway. They was wearing, like, Wilt Chamberlain and all these throwback jerseys, man. Barry Sanders jerseys. So hey, it wasn't even cool to wear anybody current at that time, besides Kobe, maybe.
The one that I wanted at the time, I can remember. I never got it because they were selling it off of Blodgett right there. Y'all know where this is? It is on Blodgett. There's a across the street, they were selling throwbacks at the time. I'm sure they're not selling them now, but at the time, and there was a Lynn Bias jersey in there. I wanted so bad.
Oh, man, you should have copped it.
I wanted it so bad, never got it.
Damn man.
A regret of mine. But yeah, man, I want to know from y'all, from the audience, 713-572-416. Y'all text in. Would you rather be the Lions right now? Mm. Would you rather be the Lions right now? Because you could be the laughing stock of the league. No wins, a tie. That's what they got on their record. These boys got a tie, man. Would you rather be another thing? Would you rather be winless or have a tie? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like just 0-10 or 0-10-1? Like, I'd love to know how y'all view that. 713-572-4610. It is a Black Friday edition of In the Loop. Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig, Ryan Rocket here. Of course, Figgy Fig, the best in the world at what he do. Look, the Texans are 2.5-point favorites going into this game against the Jets on Sunday. And they got a chance to win back-to-back games for the first time all year. Obviously, they only got 2 wins on the year. So they got a chance to do that. Should they? Should they be winning? Or is tanking the way to go? We're going to talk about tanking in a minute. That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday. On Sports Radio 610, here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
No Landry, no Lopez. Figgy Fig is here because it is the Black Friday edition of In the Loop. Brandon Scott, Ryan Rocket in the building. Look, man, it's the battle of the 2-8s this weekend. Battle of the 2-8s. That's the Texans and the Jets.
That sound appealing.
It sound doesn't it sound like just such an amazing football game? Like the thing to do with your Sunday? Nah, I'm kidding. Of course, I'm going to be there. And we're going to be in the building. That's what we do. You can listen to the game, too, by the way, on Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne, I'm pretty sure, going to have your pregame show right around 9 o'clock. Listen to the game with Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware, and the postgame show with Sean Pendergast and Clint Sterner. But anyway, this is actually a game that the Texans can win. And as we know, they're coming off of a win. They're only their second win of the season against the Titans. A game that I don't think anybody, and I mean anybody, thought that they could win going into it. I mean, color me shocked. I don't even think I thought they could win as it was happening. Like, as the win was happening, I'm like, well, man, this is not going to – I've seen this movie before. They're not going to really pull this off. And they did that. They actually did. And so I'm excited to some degree that the Texans might actually win consecutive games and the stench of losing does not have to permeate another week. Like, there was a different vibe this week. I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. I've been under weather a little bit, but it's a different vibe when you're coming off of a win. Losing stinks. It sucks, man. Like, you're either frustrated or you're apathetic. Like, it's just not fun. That's why I am anti-tanking, and I hate it when you find your franchises in the position that you find them in, like the Texans and the Rockets right now, where whether they're intentionally bad or just bad, they're bad. And so the conversation about tanking and whether this is what's best for the franchise is a relevant one because of where we're at. It's just part of where we're at. I don't like it. I'm not down with it. I'm here for the moment just as much as I am here for the future, maybe even more so, because I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Hell. So I want to see some win. I at least want to watch watchable, digestible football. You know, not like what we was watching a lot of times yesterday with all those penalties, last night with all those penalties in those three games that we watched. So where are y'all at on this tanking? Because I see text lines, social media, even articles from professional media, people that are in our business that believe that it is in the best interest of the Texans to not win on purpose. And to me, a loser's mentality is never anything to embrace. I don't care where you are in your process. So I want to hear it, man. I want to know where y'all are at. Sounds like we got some people that already want to weigh in from the loopholes. What we got, Figgy?
Yeah, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Antonio, you are on the Black Friday show. What's up, man?
Top of the morning, fellas.
Top of the morning.
It's nice to be with y'all, making money instead of spending money on Friday.
Already.
Hey, but yeah, I can understand with Brandon because you, why you anti-tanking, because you kind of like write about the team and whatnot, so you want to be right about, have something to write about, a win than a loss. But I'm a little more patient, so I would rather have them lose, get a top pick, and trade that pick off to somebody like no lower than five, and have them and then have give more picks from them. That way, because we need all the picks that we can get. We're going to suck this year and maybe the next 5 years. So we need all the picks we can get. Those picks are not guaranteed. We don't even know who's those picks going to be, like in terms of are the picks going to be come out to be good players or bad players. So we need all the chances that we can get. So, yeah.
But Antonio, that's kind of my argument, though. Like, you don't even know who's – you can't even tell me who the player going to be. What we taking
right.
For? Who to what end? Who is the player? Who is the guy? What is going to be the tangible difference once we get to that point? That's what you can't tell me, and that's what I don't know. I can tell you what a win feel like, you know.
But you know, sometimes when you in the top of the draft, there's always going to be like one person out there who's like a sure pick. So you know, give me that guy who's like at least a sure, and then you probably have if you top. You're the number one pick, and you probably have you trade down. You're getting the number. You trade down to five. You can get two more picks out of that. You know, you can give yourself a better chance to get another pick. It might not pan out, but I would say give yourself a chance because we're not gonna be nuts. We're not gonna be that good like playoff contention next year. So yeah. This year, get all the picks you can get. Next year, then I kind of want to win a little bit more. I want to tank next year, but this year, tank it up. Give yourself all the picks you can get, and, you know, let's go.
All right, Antonio, I appreciate that. I appreciate the phone call, man. Look, the way I'm looking at it, though, is, like, you already suck, though. You're already bad. Like, you're going to get a high pick. Like, to me, there's a difference between being bad and like, intentionally losing or already accepting that you suck versus rooting for your suckiness.
Yeah,
is that not a different vibe?
Yeah, Wade Smith said this a lot. He wanted people, he wanted them to put the best players on the field. So it was early on in the season, and people were saying, oh, start Davis Mills. Like, yeah. Just, you know, whatever. It's nah, like.
We're going to get the Davis Mills, too. We'll get to that at some point.
It's like, nah, just try to win these games. Even if you did put the best players out on the field, you still might not win. So I just think you got to at least try, because I think that's a tone setter if you purposely not playing the good players just so you can lose. Like, how would you feel in that locker room, man, if you know you good enough to play and the coach is not playing you because they're trying to lose and get the first pick? I don't think players really care about that type of stuff, trying to get the first pick. They want to play. So if I was a player in the NFL, I wouldn't want to go to the Texans if I know they're trying to lose to get the first pick. So I agree with you. I don't think they should I think they should try to win at least, or at least play the best player.
Rocket, ain't that like pig pen mentality?
It is kind of pig pen, but to be fair, I do think Antonio brings up a good point. I think we have a different perspective on it, being people like, you know, I work on the broadcast. I'd rather see the Texans win. Figgy in here every day of the week. He'd rather see them win. You cover the team. You want to see them win. I think from the perspective of the fan who's already tuned out,
yeah,
what do they care if the Texans win another game or not at this point? If they're already, you know, hey, this season is what it is now. Let's move on to the draft and see what we can do from there. So I get, like, I'm not pro-tanking, but I get how a fan can be pro-tanking when they see what this team is right now.
Another thing I'll say about, because he mentioned the part, and both of y'all, all y'all have actually mentioned how I cover the team, I'm around the team. And so one of the investments that I have is some of the relationships that you build with the people that are involved. So I do, like, I'm not like buddy-buddy with the players, but I do interact with them every, you know, every week.
Now you're compromised, Brandon.
Well, it just in the sense that, for me, like, I think that fans, and this is somewhat of a criticism I say, I think that fans don't really care about the players. I think
that's
fair enough to say. And so we don't really care about how what the toll is that losing takes on people. And what is the impact? What is the implication of that? We don't normally, as fans, you care about the team, you care about the results. You know, it's even when it comes to wins and losses, when we're talking about tanking, you're looking toward the future. You care about the long-term viability of the franchise. You don't care about the players, right?
Yeah.
But for me, when I go in there and I see Tyrod Taylor every week, and again, we're not buddy-buddy. I don't, you know, we didn't have Thanksgiving together, nothing like that. But to me, in my mind, I'm like, I feel like you owe it to Tyrod Taylor if he's a better player to play him. Like, how do you sell as an employer, as a boss, or whatever it is, how do you sell to somebody in a meritocracy that you're the better player, you're put it in your own work, whatever it is that you do for a living, and you're the better at whatever it is, but the boss say, you know what, we got a future to plan for. We need to get a good look at the next guy. We need to see what the person that's inferior to you looks like so we can know what our future looks like, because you're only here for a short term. Like, to me, that to me is just dishonest. I think that is dishonest on the one hand, to the people that are there, and then from a strategic standpoint, I think it's just lazy. Like, I don't think it's too much. I was saying this with Adam Spillane yesterday when we hosted in the morning on Thanksgiving Day. I don't think that it is unreasonable to expect your front office to draft competently and sign players that can help your team. Like, I think when you're evaluating talent coming out of the draft or going into the draft, that if you can't find a player, like, again, the Texans already suck, right? They're already going to be one of the bottom five teams in the league. They're going to get a top five pick. If you can't find a good player in the top five, if you can't find a good player in the top 10, hell, if you can't hit on your first round pick at all, what are we here for? Why are you wasting my time to begin with? Like, I don't even want to entertain you as whoever the general, I know it's Nick Caserio now, but whoever you are that's making the decisions, if we got to tank and be bad on purpose just for you to adequately draft a guy that can help the team, what are we doing?
Yeah, look at the other top teams in the league, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. They never tanked, and they always find a good player somewhere in the late round. The Baltimore Ravens got Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
like, and they didn't have to tank for that.
Yeah, so tank and then pick Baker Mayfield number one and let Lamar Jackson fall to number 30. How did that work out for you?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I know the Browns didn't necessarily. The Browns were another good example of a team that's been, you know this, Figgy?
Yeah.
As a Cleveland guy, they just been bad.
Mm-hmm. You know, they just been making bad picks.
Yeah, but we're in position to make those bad picks just because they were bad, not because they were trying to lose.
Yeah, because there wasn't nobody in that draft that was worth tanking for the number one overall a quarterback like that. They didn't even know who they was going to pick up until the night of. So they were really bad. They wasn't trying to be bad on purpose.
Yeah.
But, I don't really like the tank. I feel like, you know, try to play hard, play the best players, and, try to draft the players that fit you.
But I think the point that Rocket brought up is an interesting one, or it's probably just the correct one, that we have different perspectives on how we look at the team and how we, I guess, how we follow the team and what our own personal interests are. I thought you said a real key point in for the fan that's already checked out. Guess what? We're not allowed to check out. We can't check out, huh, Figgy?
Yeah, nah, we can't.
We can't do it.
Yep.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I tried. Or look, I didn't even try. This is just transparency because ain't nobody listening on the. It's just family, right? it's just family here on a Black Friday edition of the In the Loop. Look, man, I'm not gonna lie to y'all. That Colts game, And then the next week was the Cardinals game. So those were back-to-back road games. I fell asleep after that.
Oh, man.
Look, after that Mo Alley Cox touchdown where you couldn't figure out what the defensive backs was doing, couldn't figure out why that man had all that space to catch the ball, where was Lonnie Johnson in the shot. Y'all remember the play that I'm talking about, Texans fans? Look, that play happened to start the third quarter, that drive to start the third quarter. And I was kind of sleepy already. I had a little couple drinks, you know. But I know I got to watch the game. You know, I'm technically working just at home. Man, I allowed myself to go ahead and go to sleep. No shame. I was like, you know what? If I nod off, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you your boy nodded off and missed the rest of the game and had to go back and look at the tape just to know what happened. Like, I'm listening to the post game. Like, what post game? You know, like, what game happened? Like, this happened. I fell asleep. The Texans made me fall asleep at work, and I'm not no schmuck. Like, you know, I come to work and I do my thing. You know, I'm dedicated.
Man, he was over there looking like Hanneman there, man in the press box.
I'm telling you,
sweet.
Hey, the only difference was that I was in the comfort of my own home. Hannah McNair was out there in front of the whole world, ready to fall asleep on the game. But that happened on the Colts game. Kid you not. The next game, they're gonna play the Cardinals, right? Let's see. I think I went out, did a quick little brunch, little small day drinking. Lay my head down real quick because this was a 3 o'clock game. Remember that too. The three is a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I'm lay my head down. I'm not that interested in the 12 o'clock slate, in the noon slate, whatever. Man, when I tell you that by the time I woke up, Kaimi Fairbairn was hitting the field goal to make the score 5-0, and I was like, how you get to be up 5-0? How these fools lucked themselves into a safety.
Yeah.
And then I just remember being mad. I'm like, man, I know they're not going to finish with 5 points. Like, I'd rather you get blown out. 0, 3, 6, 7, not 5.
Yeah.
They finished with 5. But I mean, that's where I was. So, I told all of that just to say that I've been at the point of frustration. I've been at the point of, you know, what are we doing? Why is this happening? Why are we here right now? You know, like what is the point? I've been there already and I'm still not at the point of let's tank. Cause I want to stay awake for the game. You know, I want to have a reason to watch the game. And maybe part of that is because I can't check out like others can, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Man, I just can't believe you admitted you fell asleep twice on Texans game.
Twice.
Man. So ladies and gentlemen, if y'all are looking for a position covering sports for Sports Radio 610, make sure you apply at sportsradio610.com.
Yeah, because this might be it. This might be the last Black Friday edition of In the Loop, and it might be the last time that you hear from your boy Brandon Scott. All right, look. This franchise, this Texans franchise might find its next cornerstone player in college. Like the next best player for this team might be playing on Saturdays, and I think that he could actually be playing this weekend in rivalry week. We'll talk about that next.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
College football rivalry week coming up this weekend. Full slate of games starting today on Black Friday. Of course, we're getting you ready for the weekend with this Black Friday edition of In the Loop. Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com. Figgy Fig in the building, the best in the world at what he do. Ryan Rocket joining us as well. Rivalry week, I'm actually pretty excited for it. The further along the college football season gets, the more I get into it. I think the more the games obviously matter, unless you have one of those big non-conference games in the beginning, of course, and those eventually come up to matter as well. But, hey Figgy, this is a little local for you too, man. Ohio State and Michigan.
Yeah, man.
Man, I don't know if any of y'all watched Ohio State last week, but it might have been the longest and the most that I watched them, but it was kind of hard to watch at the same time because they was beating the brakes off of Michigan State.
Yeah, I thought that game was going to be way closer because Michigan State always play Ohio State pretty hard. So not to mention they're ranked, I think they were ranked like number 7.
Yeah,
so
something like that.
Yeah, so I'm like, damn, this game is over. It's like 40-0 in the first half.
Yeah.
So I was kind of shocked there, and I'm always nervous every time Ohio State play Michigan because you could throw the records out the window. It's always going to be a crazy game. But way more confident with Ohio State now playing Michigan. I think they can beat them.
Well, I was going to say, like, you should be – As an Ohio State fan, you should be confident playing Michigan as long as John Harbaugh is there.
Not for real.
He don't seem to be able to do nothing with y'all with Ohio State or Michigan State.
Yeah, like, no,
he's
for real.
He's bad against his rival. Like, rivalry week and the concept of rivalries for John Harbaugh just does not seem to be a kind one.
Yeah, but they are pretty good this year, though. But
yeah,
still,
for sure.
I think at the end of the day, man, I think Ohio State going to beat them.
Yeah, and I mentioned in the tease coming into going into the last break that the next cornerstone player for the Texans could be playing this weekend. And so there are a couple from this game that I will be watching. That's C.J. Stroud, which I know you can't draft him this year. I know that. I know he's not available yet. But what's the word? There is no quarterback that you want to draft yet. Like, there is no discernible better quarterback than Davis Mills, for example, right? Like, necessarily. I'm sure there will be one, but not necessarily. So I'm looking at C.J. Stroud for next year. Not about tanking. I just know they're going to be bad, and they're going to be in the running for the man.
Yeah.
Ohio State's quarterback. And also, I was checking out the mocks over the weekend, like some of the mock drafts, getting a little nerdy, and a lot of them have Michigan's defensive end, Aiden Hutchinson, going to the Texans. Now, that's just a mock.
Yeah.
But he'll be available, so that could be your next pass rusher that starts alongside or on the opposite side of Jonathan Greenard. So I think that's something to watch out for. And if you want to localize and look at it through a Texans lens, or you could just watch and enjoy the game and have a good time, have a good weekend. So I'm looking at that. Obviously, you got Texas A&M and LSU playing each other. I just think that it's a shame that's become more of a rivalry than
UT.
Then UT, and for obvious reasons, right? And they'll be in the same conference pretty soon, but they haven't been for the past decade. But it's got to be a little weird for Texas fans and for people who were a fan of that rivalry to look up and see A&M and LSU, two teams that are close regionally, just have so much more relevance as a you know, as a matchup. You know, like I'm pretty sure even with LSU not being good, more people look forward to a Texas A&M LSU game than say the Red River rivalry, you know, Texas and Oklahoma. And certainly once Texas gets back or goes to the SEC and Oklahoma does too, that should wake up a little bit. But I don't know, I was just looking at that like, man, Texas A&M and LSU seems to matter so much more.
Yeah.
But as far as cornerstone players, though, Derek Stingley Jr., right, the cornerback is somebody that has also been mocked to the Texans, and so that's somebody that you'll want to watch. I like Isaiah Spiller for the Aggies. I'm not even sure what's going on with the Aggies at this point, but if that's somebody that's available to the Texans, say they have an extra first-round pick, or say they have, like, I don't know what to do with the Texans having all their picks. Maybe that's another thing about tanking, too. I forgot to mention that earlier, actually. We talking about a franchise that ain't had no first-round picks the last couple of years. Yeah. And now it got the nerve to be greedy and say it's got to be the number one, it's got to be the number two. Bruh.
Yeah.
The last time we was picking in the first round was 2019.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, to me, beggars can't be choosers.
We got Caserio now, though, man. It's different now.
Is it, though?
It's supposed to be.
Here's my thing with Caserio. I'm not down on Caserio necessarily. But here's my thing with him and draft picks that I don't understand, or that I'm trying to understand. Is he going to make these draft picks? Is he going to ever actually draft anybody? Because he likes to use the picks to trade. Like, every pick seems like it's just a trade piece. Like, it's just basically just capital. You know, it's monopoly money to him.
Yeah. It's funny because this is his first year with the Houston Texans. He's been with New England all these years.
Right.
And this is like I see people like Teddy J, Ted Johnson, talking about the New England Patriots. This is the best draft they had in years. So it's like, damn, they finally have a good draft at the Caserio leave. I wonder what's the reasoning behind that?
Right.
Is it Caserio or did Bill Belichick just, you know, hit it right on this one?
Well, and that was the knock on Caserio as well, right, was that they didn't necessarily draft well. Like, they had a lot of good things going for them in New England, but mainly we know the good things going for New England was Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Yep.
Like that is the Patriot way, having that tandem, you know? So, I mean, that's been the knock on him. How well does he draft to begin with? So that's going to be those are the rivalry games that I'm most focused on. Like, I know Oklahoma State plays, Alabama and Auburn play. So we'll be checking them out. But
baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now, let's go out to the phones. We got Tony on the line. Figgy, what? Tony, yeah. Tony, talk to us.
Yeah, let's go to Tony. What's up, Tony?
What's up? First thing I want to say, love hearing you guys. Figgy is my dog. Doggity dog. I love Figgy. And I just want to say, as far as Black Friday goes, we have a lot of connotations as far as black goes, like you wear black at funerals, stuff like that. But Black Friday is actually a positive black connotation, because it means that you're making money. Because financially, if you're in the black, you're positive. So
I have something to say about that, because I just looked this up, actually. I actually just saw a tweet come in about the origin of Black Friday. Because that's what I thought too, Tony. I thought the same thing. Like, it's when the you know, the store is going to black, which is supposed to be a good thing.
Okay.
But apparently, according to this post, I'm not going to say where I got it from because people are going to say it and say, oh, the liberal media. But the origin of Black Friday, it's on Huffington Post, I'll just say it.
Screw it.
When a day is preceded by black, it's usually a connotation that it was a pretty bad day, but Black Friday had a similar connotation. The very earliest use of the phrase Black Friday dates to 1869 and had nothing to do with Christmas shopping.
Oh, wow.
It was the day plummeting gold prices caused a market crash, the effects of which were felt by the U.S. economy for years. The first mentions of Black Friday as we know it are said to have occurred around the 1950s or 60s by traffic police who dreaded that day. So they were so not looking forward to Black Friday that they called it Black Friday.
Yeah.
So even we can't even have Black Friday now. It can't even be a good Black thing.
You know what? Well, I choose to take the latter. It's the time when you make mistakes.
I like your version better, Tony. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Okay, and another thing I want to say. I'm a season ticket holder, okay?
All right.
So I go to these games knowing sometimes they're not going to always end like I want to end when I spend my money buying them season tickets. But I'm going to roll with the Texans because I am a Texans fan. But as far as a tanking, like y'all say, and what good does it do to tank when you got that clown show in the front office and who knows if you got the number one pick, if you're going to pick the best person. So it all goes with that. You know what I'm saying? We can have all the best picks in the world, but if you've got fools picking, that's like you taking your child to the store and telling him the grocery shop. He's going to buy all cereal, marshmallows, chips. You ain't got nothing to eat.
Fruit snacks.
Yep.
Yes. So this is the same thing. We have a clown show, and so I'm just gonna roll with it just because I have season tickets. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna go Sunday. I'm gonna be there early, Figgy. I'm gonna be there early. I'm gonna text you when I get there because I'm gonna be at the Nuffset tailgaters. I'm gonna be there early, and I'm just gonna roll with it. I'm just gonna have fun. That's because I'm a Texans fan.
Yeah, hey. That's what you gotta do, man. Just have fun, man. Celebrate these wins.
Yeah.
Whatever win they get, just roll with it, man.
Yeah, man, live in the moment, man. I don't understand why people can't do that. And Tony is not the only one that feels this way. We got on the text line from 3589. Do we trust the people in the front office to make the right pick? Like, right as she's making that call, you got that same. Now, obviously, you kind of got to. They got to make the pick. I ain't saying don't make the picks. That would be ridiculous. So you're still dealing with that. But I definitely feel where Tony and the text line is coming from there. Look, coming up, we've got two rebuilds going on simultaneously here in the city of Houston amongst our pro sports teams. Happening with the Texans on Kirby. The other one is happening downtown. But which head coach has it worse right now? Is it David Culley? Is it Steven Silas? Do you feel bad for either one of them? Which one do you feel bad for more? We'll talk about that on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.